again to see all who've gathered. I'd like to turn this evening to John's Gospel, chapter 13. I thought we might have a very miniature choir. My wife came back home from practice, and I said, only a few, right? She said, no, it's a good choir. And I say, amen, that was a good choir singing, and some very good selections led by a very able veteran. I was going to say older veteran, but like me, I'm older, you know, but no. The Elsa keeps him younger all the time. John chapter 13, reading verse 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Jesus answered him, where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his precious and holy word. The way, the truth, the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Thomas who was looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Thomas who was pleading, Lord, how can we know the way? There is no doubt in my mind that Thomas was voicing the deepest need of the human soul. How can we know the way? Was it that Thomas was homesick for heaven? Or was it that in the final analysis, Thomas had a longing for the presence of Christ? I believe the hymn writer was correct when he wrote, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. You see, Christ had become the answer to every need in the experience of these disciples. They would live with him day by day. They walked with him. They talked with him. Thomas had known that experience of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas had known that experience of having every need met. Jesus Christ had become the answer to every need in the experience of Thomas. Now Thomas was facing the possibility, the dreaded possibility of being separated from that source of help, of being separated from that source that he needed so much. And so he cries out, Lord, how can we know the way? In other words, how can we know that you are going to be our ever-present help? You've said that you're going to leave us. We're going to be here and you're going to be there. We need to know how that this union can continue. How that we can expect the same help that we've been receiving as we walked with you and as we talked with you day by day. You notice the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not just a reply or answer to a deep need that Thomas had to be fulfilled. But it was an answer that all of us
can be blessed in. An answer that meets the need and answers the question for every person from Thomas until now and down through the ages of mankind. Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The deepest need of man is salvation. He is the way in order that you might be saved. If you're going to be saved, there's only one that you can be saved through. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no other who could make that claim, who could make that demand upon the human race, who could say to the human race, I am the way. You must come to me. You must follow me. You must accept me in order that you might be saved. All around us today, we have imposters. And as long as we have human beings living on this planet, there will be imposters. There will be those who will profess to be something that they are not. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not an imposter. Even though they challenged him on several occasions to deliver what he was promising. They challenged him to deliver when he was saying that he was God. They challenged him on the cross that if he was God, to come down to save himself and to save them. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't need to demonstrate the fact that he was God by coming down from the cross. The word of God must be fulfilled and Jesus Christ must hang on a cross. He must suffer and bleed and die. And it must be the very moment that God had planned when Jesus Christ would come down. But he would not come down until he had died. You see, by nature, man is lost. The Bible says it like this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There is one express purpose for which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. And the Bible says it right there. It was to seek and to save that which was lost. And because of that verse, because of that truth, you can be assured that Jesus Christ has become the way. He is the only way whereby men can be saved. You're saved here this evening. And I believe many, as I look over this congregation, over this audience, know for sure that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is because you've trusted in Jesus as the way. Christ is the only way to be saved. The only way. I am the way, said Christ. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And there are those who may find many ways to Christ. But there's only one way to God. And that one way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one who has made a path to God, and that is Jesus Christ. There is only one who has cleared the way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord, he cleared the way to God through his death on Calvary. He died the atoning death. He paid the price for our sins. Now I know that today in our world, it's not a popular doctrine to preach that Jesus Christ is the only way, that there's only one way that you can get to heaven, because there are so many out there who are telling people that there are ways that are other than the ways that the Bible tell how that they can get to God. And they're talking about how that you can live a good life, how that you can join certain organizations, how that you can give of your time, how that you can give of your money. And they're saying that if you trust and send your money to certain TV evangelists, that you can know that you're saved and somehow this will earn you a right to get to heaven. But Jesus Christ puts all of them to shame. When Jesus Christ says, I am the way, he dispels all of them as being imposters. He banishes all of them, their mindset, what they try to tell people is right. He says, I am right. I am righteousness. I am truth. I am the way. Christ is the only way. a man was trusting his own merit for salvation. And he dreamed one night that he was constructing a ladder which was to reach from earth to heaven. Every time he did a good deed, the ladder went up a little higher. And so in the course of years, as he did his good deeds, the ladder went higher and higher until it passed out of sight. It passed clear up through the clouds. And at last, when the builder was about to step off the topmost rung onto the floor of heaven, a voice cried, "He that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber." Down came the ladder with a crash. And the startled dreamer awoke. He had learned his lesson. He saw that he must get salvation through Jesus Christ. It was not his own self-righteousness that was inadequate. He could not even fulfill the whole law of God. And even if he could have fulfilled the whole law of God, it availed nothing. It was his own doing. Salvation is a work that is complete. It's not something that we add to, not something that we can do, not something we accomplish, not something that we can be a part of. It's apart from us. It's outside of the sinner. It's outside of those who've never trusted in Jesus Christ. It is all of Christ. Christ is the only way to be saved. But this evening I want to tell you that Christ is an open way. An open way. He said, "I am the way." That's a door that's never shut. The door is always open. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door." Jesus Christ is the one speaking. He's talking about the door of our hearts. The door of your heart if you're not saved here. But the door to Christ is always open. That's never shut 24 hours a day. It is never shut. He made the way and he left the door open. But you know, there's coming a day when the door will be shut. I saw a guy today demonstrating the need to support his ministry. And he said, "If you don't support this ministry, one of these days, it's going to be like this." And all of a sudden, the screen went black. And in a second, it came back on. And he said, you just saw. Unless you support this ministry. He said, that's what will happen one of these days. And you know, that's what will happen one of these days. One of these days, as far as salvation is concerned, it will not be available to mankind. Because we're living in the day of God's grace. Now, you just like me, you've heard it from Mr. Van Ryn. You've heard it from C. Ernest Tatham. You've heard it from Mr. Bernard Fell, you've heard it from Tom Roberts and Ed Allen and Frank Perry, and you've heard it from the servants of God from the time we were little babes. We came up hearing the gospel message. But you know, one day it's going to be a reality. Christ is coming for his church. The shout is going to be given. And those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are alive and never going to see death, and those who are in the grave, the graves are going to open up. Doesn't matter where they open or not. The Bible says that they're going to meet the Lord in the air. Doesn't mean they need a big backhoe to dig up the graves, I guarantee you that. But they're going to meet the Lord. Nothing is going to prevent them because it's going to be by the power of God. It's the power that dwells in those who've trusted in Jesus Christ. It's power through the life of Christ, through the life that comes through Jesus Christ and believing in him. It's the life of the eternal God. Christ is the open way. I thank God this evening. There is an open door. Thank God it's not open only an open door to this chapel, but it's an open door to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. But secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." In order that men might be sure. And there's a lot of things in this world that you can't be sure of today. But one thing you can be sure of is that when Jesus Christ declares that we will be with Him if we trust in Him. He said, I am the truth. And when He declared that, He was giving expression to one of the most profound concepts we find in Scripture. In other words, He was claiming to be the expression of the absolute truth about God's nature. Truth embodied in the incarnate Word. Truth had come down to dwell and tabernacle among us. Jesus Christ is saying that I am truth. And when I say I am the only way, that is truth. Because I am God. He is the personification of truth. We see it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aristotle once said, mind, as it came from its maker, is organized for truth. As the eye to perceive the light and the ear to hear sounds. That is why man who finds Christ knows that he has found truth. There is a reality within him which witnesses to truth. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word. Not only at Christmas time are we to be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He became man. But He was not just a babe to Bethlehem. It was God tabernacling among men. It was God who was taking upon human form in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. God had come down to tabernacle among men. And so He said, I am the truth. Truth embodied in the incarnate Word. But truth embodied also in the inspired Word. Because Jesus Christ in person is the Word of God. He is the Word from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Word. But in the inspired Word, you have a copy with you here this evening. The inspired Word of God. He said, I am the truth. And when Jesus Christ uttered these words, He was not only thinking of the testimony of the Old Testament. When He walked that day on the road to Emmaus, Jesus Christ opened up the Scriptures to them because their hearts were sad. And He went back to the Old Testament in the Psalms. He went back to the prophets. And the Bible says He preached unto them Jesus. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is not only thinking of the Old Testament, but the Lord Jesus Christ is thinking of the witness of the New Testament. For He could say this, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And the New Testament had not been written yet. But the Scriptures that testify of Him was not only the Old Testament, but it was the New Testament as well that testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world and He met a system, a religious system that did not believe in Jesus Christ. Even though there had been all the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ who would come. Jesus Christ would be the incarnate Word of the living God. He who would be the truth in order that men might be sure. Truth embodied in the incarnate Word. Truth embodied in the inspired Word. And they rejected Him. They would slay Him if they could. And several times, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to get away from that place. Because it was not the time that God had said that Jesus Christ should die. Walter Half Burke is a former general manager of Project Mercury, vice president of the McDonnell Douglas Corporation. He teaches Sunday school in the church. There was an interview conducted with him, and he said this, I have found nothing in science or space exploration to compel me to throw away my Bible or to reject my Savior Jesus Christ, in whom I trust. The space age has been a factor in the deepening of my own spiritual life. I read the Bible more now. I get from the Bible what I cannot get from science. The really important things of life. What a testimony. That should encourage your heart and mine to rest our case upon the written word of God. We can be assured this evening, beloved, because of Christ, who is the incarnate word. He tabernacled among us. He was God's truth. And Christ that we see in the inspired word of God. But thirdly, Jesus Christ made another claim. He said, I am the life. I am the way, he said. I am the truth. If what other men say don't jive with what Jesus Christ says, if it's not according to this word of God, beloved, discount it. Don't believe it. Trust only in that which you can check against the word of God. There's a lot of stuff going around today. As believers, we must be on guard because the world is at our fingertips. Turn a dial, flick a switch, and there we're in Tokyo. There we're in some church in the United States of America, and there are many of them who preach and teach the truth of the word of God. But let me tell you, there are some out there that you must be very careful about. Brother Roddy mentioned a man that I have the greatest respect for, Van Hayden, tremendous servant of Christ. And there are many of them who preach and teach the word of God. But I say, beloved, increasingly, there are men who can persuade you, are persuasive. And they come with persuasive words, and they have programs that are put together that are designed to cause you to feel good. What you see is not their regular service. Their regular service has all sorts of other pieces. But that's made for television. Somebody puts it, goes into a studio and cuts out the pieces they don't want and puts together what they want to put together and presents to you something that's very enticing. Be very careful. If it is the truth, then enjoy it. If it's something that builds you up in the things of Christ according to the word of God, then I say, go for it, beloved. It doesn't matter where truth comes from. It doesn't matter what vehicle God sends to give it to me. I praise God for those who've been saved, whether they're red or yellow, black or white, short, tall, doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter who wrote the book that I read that teaches me some truth if it's according to the word of God. But again, I say, beloved, increasingly, as I surf and as I look around and as I watch what's happening, I see a lot of stuff that can be very damning to my spiritual life. I am life. In order that men might be strong. We need life. We need His life. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was trying to convey something by the term life. More than temporal life. He wasn't offering temporal life. He wasn't offering life on the plane that we live. But He was offering life that the hymn writer talks about. I want a plane scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. Lord, plant my feet, the hymn writer said, on higher ground. That's the life he's talking about. He's talking about abundant life. Abundant life. Jesus could say, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Beloved, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received that abundant life. Have it more abundantly. And yet there are people today, they can't spell life with a capital L. But those of us who've trusted in Jesus Christ, the life that He gives to us is everlasting life, and you can spell it with a capital L. There are some, beloved, who believe that the life that Jesus Christ gives is not forever, it's not for eternity. But I believe the life that I've received from the Lord Jesus Christ is life that is everlasting. I believe that it is eternal. The quality, I believe, is eternal. And I believe it's everlasting. That is the quantity of it. I don't know how much you've received, but mine's is everlasting. And I trust you've received that. I get people to tell me that you can't be sure. I get people to tell me that they can lose it after they've received it. I've received everlasting life. I've received eternal life. And I believe there are many here this evening who could stand and testify the same thing. Henry Stanley was the man who found David Livingston in Africa. And when Mr. Stanley found him, he lived with him for some time. See, David Livingston had been in Africa for a long time. Many people back home were wondering what had happened to David Livingston. Mr. Stanley gives a testimony as he writes in his autobiography, his account of living with David Livingston, that great missionary statesman. He said, I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But he said, there came for me a long time for reflection. As I lived with David Livingston, I saw a solitary old man. I asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he out of his mind? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? He said, for months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. Leave all things and follow me. That was his motto. But he said, you know, little by little, his symphony and his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. I saw the pity of this man. I saw the gentleness of this man. I saw the zeal. I saw the earnestness. I saw how he went about his business. He said, I was converted by him, although he never tried to convert me. It's an example of what Jesus meant when he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the term means this, that you might have it above the common. This was the life that Mr. Stanley found and saw and observed in David Livingston. It was a life above the common. And all those back in London, England, in Oxford and all those other places, they would say that he was cracked, that he didn't have the life that they had. They would have the life with a capital L. But David Livingston had found out the true source of living. It was in Jesus Christ. He was living life above the common, above the ordinary. And he gave his life in service to God, in sympathy for fellow mankind, in loving and caring and showing what Jesus Christ meant when he said, I am come that they might have life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it's also a triumphant life. Triumphant life. The Apostle Paul thinks of this when he says, makes this statement, if in this life only we had hope, we would be of all men most miserable. Beloved, when you think about Jesus Christ going into the tomb and being sealed in that tomb, and then on the third day you find those women going and finding that there's an angel there who says he's not here, but he's risen. That's not ordinary theology. That is some of the most profound theology in the Word of God, because it's talking about the triumph of the Savior. And because he is a triumphant one, it means that those who put their faith and trust in him, who trust the way, who trusts in the truth, who has received the life, they are going to know the same triumphant life. Not just triumphant life because one day there'll be a trumpet sound. But Jesus Christ has left his followers here that they might represent him, that they might show to the world that he is love, that they might show to the world that he is grace, that they might show to the world that he is not a God who wants to send everybody to hell, but he's a God who was willing to send his son Jesus Christ into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's not a God who wants to banish everybody to darkness, but He's a God who wants everybody to live in light. He's a God who wants everybody to be on His side, even though men have taken their stand against God. They've taken their stand with the evil one against God, yet He reaches out to them. The door is never shut. The door is always open. And He offers triumphant life, abundant life, a life above the ordinary, but a triumphant life, a life where we can know victory over sin, over the flesh, and over the devil. Beloved, you have enemies out there. I have enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they have not changed since you came inside this building. They have not gotten any better, they've gotten worse. They have strengthened their resolve to destroy your testimony, to rob God of His glory. Even though they see you sitting inside of a church, they feel stronger about what they've got to be committed to do. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And yet the Bible says, greater is He that is in you by the Holy Spirit than he that is in the world, than he that is against you. Greater is He who is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And yet the whole world out there is against us. But who can be victorious against us? No one can. Because He spared not His own Son. One day, beloved, we're going to know the ultimate in triumphant victory. Victory is ours. Victory that we can enjoy even now. Lloyd George once said, I have always found throughout my career that when there was a big moral question to settle in England, when the chapel bells began to ring in unison, the fight was over. Jesus Christ brings victory, and the battle is over. Those of us who trusted in Jesus Christ, we can stand united against the foe. March on to victory. Victory that is ours in Christ. Not anything that we have to do to attain it. It's been given to us because Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth. Accept nothing else but the truth. The truth in the incarnate word. The truth in the written word. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Thomas questioned, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. I trust that you'll know Him as the way this evening. I'm going to invite you to sing with me. 269, if you're here and not saved, then as we stand and sing, I trust that you'll step out of your seat and come here to the front. I'm going to invite you right where you are to receive Jesus Christ this evening. You can make this a prayer. I hear thy welcome voice. 269. That calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee, trusting only in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 269.